Hello everyone, my name is Chinni Ifejika, and welcome to the Fulbright International Education Administrators Program, our webinar for our France seminar. I am the Outreach and Recruitment Coordinator for IIE, and I will be introducing a few of our panelists today. Today we have Sarah Causer, and she will speak a little about herself.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the webinar. My name is Sarah Causer. I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist. I work with Chinni on these wonderful IEA opportunities. We're really glad to have you here.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. We also have with us Lauren Smith.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lauren. I work on our program management Europe and Eurasia team, so I work on the French and Germany international education programs, and I'm happy to answer any of your questions today.
All right, thank you, Lauren. And we also have our guest panelists today, Lovnis Schaefer. And Lovnis, would you like to introduce yourself as well, please?
Yes, hello, everyone. My name is Lovnis Schaefer. I'm the Associate Director of International Services at Louisiana State University, and I'm the alumni for the IEA program in France.
All right, Lovnis, thank you. All right, so now we are going to dive in, and I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the mission. So for those unfamiliar with the program, the Fulbright program is an international exchange program. Our mission is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world. Fulbright has partnered with 160 countries and offers opportunities to faculty, administrators, and professionals. In today's webinar, we will be highlighting our opportunities for administrators. So established in 1946, Fulbright is the United States' flagship international educational and cultural exchange program, and Fulbright is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State and administered by the Institute of International Education. All right, next slide, please. Thank you. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about diversity and inclusion. We are actively recruiting a diverse pool of applicants for the Fulbright program. I'm glad that you're here to learn more about the program, and I would encourage you to tell your colleagues about our program as well. Our opportunities are open to people regardless of their race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, disability, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Please encourage all people to consider Fulbright when you're thinking of the opportunities that we have to offer. All right, so the Fulbright International Education Administrator Seminars takes place in 7 different countries. These seminars typically take place over the course of 2 weeks. However, the seminar to France is 1.5 weeks. Each country is looking for a unique profile, which we will talk more in depth about France momentarily. These Fulbright IEA seminars are intended to have broad personal and professional impact on grantees. So from this experience, the grantee's home campus will benefit from an increased knowledge of the host country's higher education system. This will aid in the development of programs and international student advising and broader global collaboration. Additionally, grantees will broaden their network with possible partnerships and cooperation through the other Fulbright IEA grantees. I'd like to emphasize that it is important for applicants to think of their application in relation to their university. This is a very important part of the application itself, as well as how the mission ties into that as well. This is not just a personal application, but more broadly one that aims to increase institutional internationalization. I know that later on, Lovnis will be able to give her personal perspective of how this program has helped personally as well as institutionally. And on a more personal note, this is a wonderful opportunity to experience the host country through the guidance of locals. And thank you. So unlike our other Fulbright Scholar Awards, IEA does not have a degree requirement. All of our grants are conducted in English, so no host language is required. Again, these seminars are open to international education administrators, And when we were looking at the France Award, specifically senior university administrators, with significant responsibility for international programs and activities. All right, next slide, please.
Great,
and
I think
so,
I can...
Yeah, so now Lauren's going to take over, and she's going to give you a little bit more information about the program in France.
Thanks, Ginny. So the Fulbright IA Seminar to France has about 12 grantees, or up to 12 awards. Participants experience briefings, campus visits, appointments with selected government officials, networking and cultural events, and meetings with French international education professionals. So as Ginny said, the France IEA program is 1.5 weeks long, and it's open to senior level university administrators. So deans, vice presidents, provosts, presidents, people who have substantial responsibility for enhancing the international dimension of their institution. So this is about, if you're looking for something maybe a little bit more broad, or maybe you're not quite at that level, you might want to look at a different award. We do, for example, the Germany IEA program is open to a little bit broader of a group. And also, I want to add that this program is looking for applicants with a minimum of 5 years of full-time work experience in international education. And if you think that maybe you're on the border or you're not sure if this fits your profile, you are welcome to send us your CV or send us just an email with your questions, and we can take a look and kind of advise you from there. I don't know. Sarah, do you have anything to add to that?
I believe the only thing I would add, I think it was made clear by the French Commission this last year, was of those 5 years of experience, they do not have to be at that level. It's just within that realm of international education, and your current position should be of the ones that Lauren described. Is that right, Lauren?
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, and then I'll hand it over to Sarah for this part.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Lauren. So quickly diving in, as Ginny discussed earlier, there are 7 unique IEA opportunities, and many of our applicants are interested in every country, but it's really important for you to pick and choose the right award that makes sense for where you are currently in your career. So on the screen, you can see some questions that we have for you to really ask yourself as you are trying to differentiate between the different awards and what makes sense for you, as well as what makes sense for your institution, because you should think about, again, these applications as it relates to both yourself professionally, but also to your institution. So you want to ask, how has your campus been working to internationalize itself? Are there certain countries that you are trying to increase cooperation with? Are they one of these specific countries, or are they in one of these regions, being South and Central Asia, Europe and Eurasia, or the East Asia and Pacific region, because that might help you really determine which direction your institution wants to go and where you should apply yourself. Additionally, you want to ask if there are any institutional goals to increase the number of students from a country, or even increase study abroad opportunities or exchanges with one of these countries. On the professional and personal side, you'll want to think about your experience in these countries, whether or not you have extensive experience or little experience, because that does play into which award you may choose. Because if your institution and you have extensive experience traveling, you may be better suited to try a different location to really start to enhance and open those doors rather than going back continually to the same location. And then lastly, you'll want to ask, what is your professional profile and which one does it meet? So as Lauren was saying about the senior level of experience that they're looking for with the IEA to France, while it may not be the right fit for you, think about your colleagues. Think about your president and provost on your campus and maybe share this opportunity with them. Doesn't mean that you're foregoing an opportunity, because there are other opportunities out there, but you'll want to make sure that you're choosing the ones that make sense for you as well as your institution. Our website is very beneficial for all of you listening today, because I usually get these questions. This session is being recorded. We will share the slide deck as well as the recording, usually about 3 to 5 days after the event takes place, so this will probably be next week. But you should be able to click any of these hyperlinks to get to areas on our website. So our website is very developed. There's walkthrough webinars to help you go through the application, as well as a guideline that you can download and help you answer any questions. We want to make it as seamless as possible for you in order to apply. We don't want that to be a barrier. But if you do have any questions, we are here to help you. On the very last slide at the end will be the email address, but it's iea@iie.org. And you can email us anytime. As Lauren said, you can email your CV just to make sure that you are eligible for these opportunities. In terms of the application components, just giving you a little bit more insight here, there is our online application form where you will fill out your biographical data. You will select the IEAs as an award. You'll select France. The application actually morphs on the back end, depending on which program and country you're applying to. So it's very critical that you choose the right award. From there, you will be uploading a variety of different documents. But in the case of the seminar details, I'll dive into that in just a few moments, a little bit more. But in years past, this has been a 3 to 5 page statement of intent. What we have done last year is we have gone away from that. The questions are also there, but we've now transitioned it into 5 open-ended questions. So the same content is what we're asking for, but we want to make sure that you as an applicant are addressing each one of these pieces, because in years past, for those kind of 4 to 5 topics, certain ones would be a little more developed over others, so we want to make sure that you're able to really clearly explain what you intend to get out of these programs. And again, I'll talk about those 5 open-ended questions in just a bit. But it really should be very clear and compelling to audiences both inside and outside of your field. For the documents that you'll upload, you have your CV or resume. It's up to 6 pages. It should be clearly organized and tailored to show how your credentials, professional standing, and accomplishments relate to international education. And it should include your employment history, listing all items chronologically. On our website, we do have details for formatting guidelines, for margins, font, size, things like that, that you can utilize to make sure that you're adhering to any of those guidelines. For the institutional statement, this is 1 to 2 pages. Each one of these countries does require this. And what you should include or address in your institutional statement is general information about your home institution. What type of institution? Is it a community college? Is it a minority-serving institution, a small liberal arts? Is it a large research 1 or research 2 institution? You should also include total enrollment numbers on your campus. If your campus has other locations, you're more than welcome to address those as well. And then lastly, you'll want to address the number of degrees offered, again, on that campus or campuses. Other topics you should include would also include the number of international students on campus and where they're coming from, regionally or country-based, as well as the study abroad opportunities available to your students. If your institution does have institutional partnerships, we ask that you highlight that as well, especially if they are taking place in the country that you're proposing to go to, so in this case, France. And then lastly, we would ask that you address any future goals or plans for internationalizing the campus. This is a really good document. You can create this in concert with other colleagues on campus. You might find a lot of this information on your school website. That is fine. We do get questions every year. Can I include graphs and charts? Again, that is fine. There's nothing saying that you can't. It can be entirely narrative-based if that's what you choose. But it's really up to you what you put forth and how you want to format that. And then lastly, where we have probably the second biggest change is with our letters of reference. In years past, you were required to have 3. It is now only 2. And so for that, what you would do is you would register them in the system. The system automatically generates an email to them with a link to the portal. They will upload their letters of reference directly. They do not give it to you. You do have an option to waive access to those, or if you choose to want to see it later, you just won't waive your access. But for these 2 letter writers, they are evaluating your professional qualifications, the potential for your institutional impact, as well as your personal qualifications and qualities. And so who should serve as these letter writers? One should be from your current supervisor or someone that you report to at your institution, and they really should be familiar with and address your administrative skills and leadership success, while the other letter can come from any colleague who can really speak to your personal attributes and interests within international education. And then this second letter can be from someone at your campus or at another institution entirely. Do keep in mind that there are a few people who cannot serve as letter writers. Those happen to be representatives of U.S. Embassy or Post, especially in the country of where you're applying, as well as representatives of the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, as well as and in addition to anyone from the Institute of International Education. So just keep that in mind. I always suggest that when you've made the decision to apply, to register your letter writers as soon as possible to give them the most time to upload those documents. You can change them out later. You can send reminders through the system. You can even submit all of your portions before they submit. But just keep in mind that everything needs to be submitted by that deadline of February 1st, 2021. And there will be a timeline in just a little bit that you can reference. So as I promised, I was going to dive into the seminar details a little bit more. As I said earlier, in lieu of that statement of intent, you're asked to respond to following questions in the application. You can see all the character limits. My pro tip here is develop these in a Word or other type of document processor, because if you're doing it live in the application, you do risk the chance of it timing out on you and losing all your work, and we don't want that at all. I don't want anyone being frustrated. So that's just my pro tip for you, and then that way you can actually share those answers with your letter writers so they can actually reference and address what you have put forth. But for the five different questions, the first is your professional biography. It should really highlight your educational background, professional and administrative experience, any significant professional accomplishments and key responsibilities in your current position. Things that you might also wish to include could be information on professional affiliations and memberships, community service, publications, honors and awards that are relevant, or anything else that really falls within that professional category. And again, all this information is on the website, I do promise. The next open-ended question that you'll address is country selection and professional relevance. This is where you're really going to answer the question of why are you applying for the IEA seminar for this particular country. We want you to describe your professional responsibilities as they relate to the particular grant and include any achievements in the development of international initiatives or systems on campus. You'll also address any expertise that you can share with your peers in that host country. You can describe your experience with that host country, including previous visits or any communications or interactions with the country. This could be through setting up partnerships, cultural engagements, or experiences sending and receiving students. For the outcomes and impact, this is really where, this is a very critical piece, and I don't want anyone to skip over this, but it's important for you to address how your participation in the IEA seminar will contribute to the international education goals of your institution. I know Loveness will talk about this as well, and really drive home that point of those outcomes and how important and imperative that they are. But you'll want to really anticipate a very broad impact that this participation could have on your institution and your community. We want you to be as specific as possible, but if you are talking about more broad and sustainable options, that is fine as well. We want you to talk about how you'll share what you've learned with your home institution and others, and what the anticipated impact your participation would have on your own professional development and career. The next topic is your personal qualities, which is where you're really going to just describe and talk about your ability to be adaptable, culturally sensitive, collegial, and how you would be serving as a cultural ambassador for the United States. So those are just, again, topics that we want you to include. This last section about additional information, it's really there for anything that you feel the reviewers need to know or be aware about that was not addressed in those previous four. For anyone who is on the call, if you've applied in years past, maybe made it to that final selection round or maybe had to withdraw your application, you can address that here as well, just so people, the reviewers are aware of that. And then as I promised, I'm going to quickly dive into the timeline before yielding the rest of the time for Loveness to talk about her experience. But the program itself opens every year in early February. So you actually have the longest amount of time to apply for this award. So the deadline is February 1st of 2021. In April, you will be notified whether or not you are recommended or not recommended after the first peer review stage. And what I mean by peer review is previous awardees for this particular seminar actually come back and review applications, making that decision whether or not to recommend an application for further review in country or to not recommend at this point in time. Whether or not, if you are not recommended, we highly encourage you reach out to us. We can't disclose anything that is said in these peer reviews, but we are more than happy to have a conversation with you and determine if this is the right award and if you should reapply, or maybe there's a different award that would be better suited for you. After that, your application, if you are recommended, goes in-country for a final review and selection by that country. They do a similar review process, making those final selections. You will be notified immediately upon the completion of that. And then the award to France actually takes place in October. So it feels like a lot of time, but I promise it will be here before you know it. And with that, Loveness, I invite you to take over and talk about your experience.
Thank you, Sarah. Let me start by addressing why I decided to participate in the Fulbright program. 2 years prior to going to France on this program, I went to China with a group of faculty and give presentations at South China Agricultural University in Guangzhou. That trip really sparked my interest in programming for Chinese students and scholars. I got to experience the power of travel to enhance international understanding and exchange. And so I was so excited that I wanted to broaden up my experience not just to China but also to another country, and Fulbright program seemed to me to be a way to travel and get this travel experience and international education firsthand. So why France? Some of you might know that Louisiana, I'm from Louisiana, Louisiana State University, has long historical ties with France. In fact, the state of Louisiana was named after Louis XIV, the King of England, King of France then. And so I was intrigued to find out more about our ties, our historical ties. We still have a heritage and a lot of things that are French in Baton Rouge. You know, I'm located in Baton Rouge at French work. And I wanted to get that more first-hand knowledge of my state so I can share it with exchange visitors, visiting students, and so on. Also, generally, France is it's actually the second most popular study destination for our students at LSU. And it's only second to United Kingdom. And I wanted to increase that connection with France, help enhance that study abroad experience. Even though I don't work in study abroad, I work in I'm an immigration advisor. But also for those students and scholars who come from France, I wanted to know what they are looking for in a U.S.-based education or U.S.-based partnerships. Especially, we just started a few years ago using the student intern category to bring interns, student interns, and many of them come from France. So I wanted to understand them better. And that was my reason for choosing France. Next slide. So my cohort consisted of 12 grantees, including 5 racial minorities from 12 states as mentioned before, diversity is a big consideration for Fulbright, and I could really see it in our cohort with participants with very diverse educational backgrounds. We had 4 associate deans and 1 senior associate vice president, a vice president, a chancellor, a vice president, a special assistant to the president, and a director of international center. And so I and my counterpart from Ohio State were the 2 associate directors, the lowest ranking people who have participated in this program. So that kind of highlights the fact that France considers senior level personnel. And that the diversity was also very apparent in the institutional representation. We had participants from Research One universities like Ohio State and LSU. We had a participant from 2 participants from community colleges, historically black colleges, Jesuit universities, liberal arts, mid-sized institutions. So they look at all those, and it's very interesting to see. Next slide. In France, we spent half the time in Bordeaux and half the time in Paris. We visited 7 universities or institutions, again, diverse institutions, including universities and high schools and lower institutions, and mostly learned about their education system and shared our education system. And also we interacted with our counterparts. So some of the presenters or people who attended the our meetings were faculty or deans or international advisors. So the group of attendees reflected the participants in the program, and that was really nice just to share best practices and see how they do things in France and how and share our American practices. Very exciting indeed. Next slide. In addition to visiting universities and institutions, we visited educational organizations and other organizations that do have something to do with international education, like the Ministry of Higher Education and Research, the Ministry of European Affairs. In Campus France, we actually went to their headquarters, their office, and it was very exciting to see because at annual conference, at NASA annual conference, they have a big booth, and to actually see them in their offices and interact, that was very exciting to me. The OECD, a very exciting place. It's like a United Nations. We had lunch there, and employees from all over the world working there, and they shared lots of interesting data on economic and educational areas. And MISEFA representatives and ISEP also interacted with us. Next. It wasn't all learning. There were also fun excursions that were built in, such as walking tours, especially of the historic city of Bordeaux, and we visited the wine museum. You cannot miss that in Bordeaux, and the outdoor market in Paris, and we had a lot of lunches and dinners in a very French culture, so that was very interesting. Next. So the experience was not just beneficial for me personally and professionally, but also for the institution. In fact, when I started talking with my supervisor's boss to say that I'm interested in applying this, and I asked him to be my referee, I explained how it will benefit my office, how it will benefit his office in the institution in general. And I could see that firsthand for the 12 of us who went to France. Each day we made presentations for each university or each school that we visited. We told them about our universities. So I learned about the 12 universities that my counterparts came from, the 11, and they learned about LSU a lot, in addition to learning about the institutions in France. So it really raised the visibility of my university and my office, and that was one of the benefits for the institution. And for me personally, the experience was just transformational, just a unique opportunity for personal and professional growth. We got an in-depth knowledge of the country. We established deeper and broader understanding of the field of international education. There are a lot of presentations about globalization and things like that. We made new friends. The 12 of us are still a strong network. We still chat on WeChat and greet each other during holidays and you know, sometimes to commiserate with what's going on in the world. And if one of us gets promotion or something, they let others know. So it's new friends and new connections. Next. And these are just some photos. So the first photo on the left is our tour of the historic city of Bordeaux with our guide. Very interesting. That was the first day that we arrived in Bordeaux. And then on the third day, we went to La Cité du Vin. That's the Museum of Wine. That's the building outside, and that's the building on the right is the inside. Just fascinating. Next slide. And as I mentioned earlier, we visited a diverse number of schools, including very elite schools and medium level public schools, just to get a feel of how their education system works. And on the left there, it's one of the elite schools with very smart kids. And those students there had visited the United States either on a study abroad tour or something. And it was just fabulous to hear from them about their experience in the United States. And that just I can talk for the rest of the group. That was one of our favorite tours, is when we heard from students talking about their experiences in the United States and whether they would like to study in the United States and why. And that way it just kind of gave us ideas on how to program for French students and other international students when we return home. Next slide. And on the top left, the consular officer came and had lunch with us at just a high school that we visited, which was really nice. We also had an opportunity to visit the city hall, and that's us walking to the city hall. And that next photo is inside the city hall, and the mayor gave the address and welcomed us officially. So that was really cool. And dining there, that was the last dinner in Bordeaux. Next slide. On the train to Paris after Bordeaux, and the other photo just shows you sometimes trains can be crowded in Paris. That's us coming from a tour. But a lot of times we walked. You know, Paris is a walking city. And so you, like I said, the fun excursions and trip were built in. So going to a train station or going to a nearby school, we spent a lot of time just informally learning about France on our way to those educational trips. Next slide. And that's one of the schools that we visited, Université de Paris. And we visited the OECD, as I mentioned before, and also the Sorbonne, the premier iconic university in France. And that's us inside the Sorbonne Rectorate, and you know, the whole place is like a big art gallery. It's just amazing. Next slide. And this was my favorite tour, the Marché d'Aix at the vegetable market. Really enjoyed that. Next slide. And certificate of completion. So that's our director, Monsieur Honoré Rojou. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Loveness. This was so insightful and helpful, and I welcome anyone on the call if they have questions specifically for Loveness about her experience to please chat them in. And I'll pass it back to Chinny at this time to wrap it up and answer the question. Chinny?
All right. Hey, everyone. So thank you, Loveness, for giving us more of an insight into the IA program to France. So for anyone interested in staying connected with us, Phil, please, we ask that you register your interest with Fulbright so you can connect with Fulbright by clicking on this link. And also, this webinar is being recorded and will be listed on our website, as well as the slides, so you will have access to all of this information. If you have any questions, feel free to email us at scholars@iie.org, as well as iia@iie.org. You can also visit our website to learn more about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. And by clicking the link at the bottom, you can refer your colleagues. Feel free to reach out to us and to check out some of our social media profiles, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as LinkedIn, where you can find more about the different types of things we're doing at Fulbright. And you can kind of get an insider look into some of the programs that we offer. All right, so now if you have any questions, well, we've had a few questions come in. If there are any more, please continue to write those in. And as those are coming in, we'll be answering those. So let's see. All right, so we do have a question. So I understand we are only able to participate in one program in a cycle. Does that mean that we can only apply for one program per year? All right, so with the Fulbright Scholar Program, you are only allowed to submit one application per year, per application cycle. So if you're interested in maybe doing an IEA to Germany, and you're also curious about maybe doing one to maybe Japan or Korea or France, you have to choose one. You can only apply to one. As well as maybe if you're interested in some of our other scholar awards, not the IEA seminars, you'll have to make a choice between which award you'd be interested in applying for. Okay, so another question that we received is like a question based off of like nationality. So with the U.S. With the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, U.S. citizenship is required. So as long as you have that U.S. citizenship, you are eligible to apply to our programs. Let's see. Are there any questions? All right, so I have a question that I'm going to throw to Sarah. Is it possible to defer an award if COVID conditions are not deemed safe? Sarah, could you give us...
That is a great question. Under the Fulbright Fulham Scholarship Board policy, deferrals are not possible. That being said, it is up to country-by-country decision that if they do deem that it is unsafe, they could move it back as long as it takes place, again, within that time frame of that full academic year cycle. And so that is what we have seen happen this past year for many of our countries who had awarded. They decided to push it back by a year and are hoping to take place. For your knowledge, since this doesn't take place till next October, I would say it would be safe to apply and to at least attempt to receive it, and we are hopeful that things will be smooth sailing at that point. Lauren, did you have something else you wanted to add about this?
No, I think you covered it. I think generally we kind of just have to apply, not necessarily thinking about deferrals right now. But I would encourage you to apply, and then we can see what happens.
All right. Thank you, Sarah and Lauren. All right, so another question that was asked is, if I applied for the Fulbright Specialist Program, can I apply for the France Program as well? Sarah, would you like to answer this one?
The short answer is yes. If you are applying or on the Fulbright Specialist roster, you are more than welcome to also at the same time apply for a Fulbright Scholar Teaching and Research or Scholar IEA opportunity. They are not competitive against each other in that regard because the specialist program is administered by another organization. So you are eligible to apply. Just note that you cannot take both awards at the same time. As long as they don't overlap in time frame, you're good to go.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Okay, so there are a few questions about travel dates. And let's see. Again, if you have any questions. So again, when you're thinking of applying, just think of applying as if everything will hopefully, and fingers crossed, be fine. If there are any issues in terms of delays in the program, we will notify you about those things. But as of right now, we are very hopeful that things will be fine, as both Sarah and Lauren have mentioned. So those are in regards to any travel questions regarding the pandemic or regarding the dates of travel. All right, let's see. We have another question. Any tangible takeaways that you can share? Sarah, are there any tangible takeaways that we can share with our viewers?
I think a lot of the tangible takeaways are we have seen exchanges and kind of online MOUs be signed between institutions. We've seen increased partnerships. We've seen a lot of our alumni come back and really hit the ground running within their memberships and associations, really pushing these opportunities and making changes on their campus. But I would love to actually pass this to Loveness to really talk about any specific tangible takeaways that she has seen, knowing that yes, she went in 2019, that this is just the beginning of those takeaways for her and her institution.
Takeaways. Yes, I agree with Sarah. You know, you come back and really want to apply the knowledge that you learned. And since I had been back from France, I sort of kind of act like the contact person when people have questions about Fulbright. And takeaways as far as applying for the grant, I would say that it's very important to tie your interests to the interests of the institution. Maybe make reference to strategic plan of the institution. and to not be dissuaded by possibility of rejection. I was told that it's a prestigious grant and that most people don't get it when they apply for the first time. But I did get it for the first time. But anyway, when I was applying, I felt like I learned a lot. Like I said, I'm an immigration advisor, but because this is more like an institutional application, I worked with others, like the person who handles partnerships, person who does study abroad, in the French and Francophone studies, to gather institutional information. And I felt like I learned a lot about my institution, which if I wasn't doing this application, I would not have known. So for me, it was like, even if I don't get this grant, I really enjoyed the process.
All right, Loveness, thank you so much for that insight into your experience. So let's see, we have a few more questions that are continuing to come in. Okay. And Lauren, could you talk a little bit more about with the award to France, the seniority level of administrator, like what type of international education do you think they might require? Or could you just speak a little more on that? Thank you.
Of course. I think that's, you know, we can go case by case in specific. So I think if you really have questions about that, that's when you can email us your CV and kind of a background about what you do. But I do also want to note, you know, as you're completing the application to really be connecting, you know, the international collaborations that you work with in your job or how what you do could be, there might be a parallel or a contrast in France, for example, and how you can sort of draw that, you know, that connection between your current role and what an international education administrator seminar in France would bring to both you and to your hosts, to, you know, the people you'll meet in France. So I think thinking about both of that and thinking about the interconnectedness is always what I recommend. But if you have specific questions about your experience, please do email us.
All right, Lauren. So, all right, everyone. Again, thank you for joining our webinar, and thank you for all of the questions that you have submitted to us. Again, if you have any type of personalized questions about your like seniority level or any questions about your applications in general, please feel free to email us at scholars@iie.org, and we will be more than happy to answer your inquiries. And thank you, Loveness, Lauren, and Sarah for joining us today. Loveness, it was a pleasure having you here. Thank you for sharing your insight and your perspective and your experience to France. And also thank you, everyone, for joining. And we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.